Believe it or not,
Nick,
Paul.
It's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
This is the Slippery Rock fight song for Nick Faribault.
Nick Faribault, Slippery Rock's finest. No.
This is amazing. Nick is from Steelers now. We had an unfortunate incident where I had bad biographical information on him. So that's what you just heard me saying. You are a Slippery Rock grad, yes, and him saying no. And I think that'll stay with us forever, Nick, and I apologize again. How are you?
I'm doing well. Actually, before I came on, you know, I went up to Slippery Rock, slapped the slimy pebble a little bit for good luck. it's all good. It's all good, you know.
Do they still talk about flying Myron Brown up at Slippery Rock?
I don't know. I think it might be recent superstar Roland Rivers III that might be getting more, if you remember him from, like, I think 5 years ago.
Yeah, I do. Roland Rivers III. Did he ever have any traction in the I know he might have made it to the USFL or CFL or WLF or one of those alphabet soup leagues, but did he ever have any cup of coffee with the NFL?
He did. He actually had a rookie minicamp tryout with the Steelers in 2021. So yeah, that was about it though. It didn't get signed anywhere.
All right.
Well, let's get to this draft now, Nick. And I know you're doing a lot of work over at Steelers now for this one. I'm going to give you a choice here. I don't want you to tell me who you think the Steelers will pick. I'm going to say who they should pick. If Mims is on the board, Barton, Brian Thomas, and Latham. If those four guys are on the board when they step to the podium, who would you pick?
This one's pretty easy for me, actually. J.C. Latham is who I would pick. Pretty easy because Latham is like a surefire, just plug and play, right tackle, mauler in the run game. You know, with like Mims, you have questions, inexperience. Barton, can he actually play at center? Thomas is a really big 6'4 guy, runs a 4.39. Those are great, but he is a really raw player. I don't think he's going to have like an elite rookie year just because he is very raw. So he's going to be a guy that's going to take a few years to kind of get going. Latham, plug and play, road grade. I mean, that's what they need right now. They need tone setters that can go up front and kick some butt. Like, that's what they need. And so J.C. Latham is, like, perfect for that. And he's a good pass protector, too. On top of that, I think he fits their scheme perfectly. And it can kick Broderick Jones right back to left tackle, which is also ideal.
But will he be there at 20? That's the question.
I don't think so. For all the reasons I just stated, right? Some team's going to fall in love with like this mountain of a guy that is a real good run blocker, a real good pass protector. He's big, but like he moves pretty well for being big. I mean, he was 365 when he was playing. I think he came in at 345 at the combine. He was really moving well. He's got pretty sweet feet for that size. Listen, there's been smoke of him going as high as 5 to the Chargers. So he might not even sniff 20th overall. So I don't think he'll be there at 20. But the other three options, I think, do have a chance to be there.
Nick, I just asked a previous guest this. I think it was Garrett Podell from CBS Sports, who had one of the better mocks in the country last year. But now I see Pete Prisco, who I like a lot, over at CBS. He has Brock Bowers at 15 to the Colts and Byron Murphy at 16 to the Seahawks. A lot of people seem to think that's going to happen. And I know Benton is here now. I think guys can move up and down the defensive line, however, and my own personal bias is that games and championships are won with defensive lines that absolutely wreck people. But let me ask you this. That's getting awfully close to the Steelers pick. If Bowers or Murphy get down to 20, would you jump at either one of them over Latham?
Over Latham, I think, is tough. I don't think I'd take Bowers over Latham. I think to tight end in round one, I love Bowers the player, but a tight end in round one is historically just a really bad kind of judgment call. You know, those guys take a while to kind of get going.
But isn't he just a receiver in the end, though, Nick? Isn't he basically a wide receiver?
You know, you could use him like that, but that's what they also said about Kyle Pitts, and Kyle Pitts has had a tough time kind of getting off the board too right? I mean, he's a guy that plays out wide in the slot more than he plays in line, but Bowers might have the same thing, and he's lighter than Pitts was coming out. He might be a little faster, actually, which is kind of crazy to think about, but I don't love the idea of Bowers at 20. What I do like, though, is Byron Murphy. You talk about a stud. I think I might pick him over Latham. I'll even throw Johnny Newton in there, the other defensive tackle. I think these are two guys that are absolutely studs. I don't know why they're not getting more hype. Murphy, probably because he's like 6'2", 299, I think is what he came in at the combine. But you look at what he does, reminds you a lot of what Kalaja Kansi did if you watched him at Pitt or him at the Buccaneers last year. I mean, he is a guy that plays low, explosive, disrupts games. It is dominant tape. Same thing with Newton. I kind of wish, personally, you know, if I were the Steelers in that spot, that I didn't have to look at, okay, I might start Nate Herbig, I might be starting Van Jefferson or a third-round rookie, because if you had kind of filled in those holes a little bit more in free agency, the center wide receiver positions, I think you would be more at kind of wherever you could go, right? You could get a Murphy, you could get a Newton, and these are two guys that I think are going to be difference makers. So I think I would take Murphy, personally. If I'm going best player available right off the rip, I think Byron Murphy would be better than J.C. Latham.
You know, we hear so many different things about this the draft. By the time that the actual draft comes, I start to wonder whether or not I have short arms and my waist is is not bendable enough and all this other stuff. But the long and short of it is, Nick, what are the positions where there's lots of players available at the positions the Steelers need, where in the second and third round they might be able to get guys who can help them?
Yeah, in the second or third round, you're talking receiver and corner. That's where this kind of goes off. You know, they talk about the tackle position. That's really a first-round phenomenon. It falls off very quickly in the second and third rounds. There are a few guys, but it's not plentiful. Center, it's really three dudes. So when you're talking about receiver, there, you know, there's 15, 20 of them where you can look at 51 and point out a guy that could start, or at 84, a guy that can start. You know, you have just such cluster of there. And same thing at corner. Not as much outside corner, but slot corner. And that's what the Steelers need. So slot corner, you know, there's going to be guys even all the way down to 98 and 119 that could probably start right away. Talking guys like Renardo Green and Elijah Jones in that kind of area of the draft. So this is a really deep draft in terms of those two positions. But the offensive line, if you want those guys, get them early. You got to get tackle, center, whatever. You want to upgrade that, early. Defensive line, I think, you know, we were talking about Murphy and Newton. I do think there's some depth to the defensive line class, specifically in that late day two area, that 84, 98 area. I think there's a few guys there between Michael Hall, Mason Smith, Ruka Roro. I think there's a few guys that will really intrigue the Steelers that could be picks there. It's a shallow kind of offensive line class, though. The top is great. It's a heavier top, and it's a deeper top than it usually is, but those top guys are going to be gone, you know, within the top 50 picks, and I don't think many of them are going to fall to 51, guys that could start right away at tackle. And I think center, same thing. Frazier probably doesn't get out of the top 45. He'll probably be the last center off the board.
Nick Farabaugh from Steelers Now is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Restart IT services. Expect more from your IT service provider. Get more from Restart. Call or visit restart.com. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And the text line, very important here for Techs in the City with our friend Neutron back there. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Nick, I'm now fascinated with the big national story here, and that's the quarterbacks. How many are going to go? We all know and believe Caleb Williams will go first. Then what? I heard Merrill Hodge say that Drake May is the type of guy that's going to get a coach fired. I heard a lot of other things about a lot of other people. J.J. McCarthy now fascinates me. Now I'm starting to read everything I can get my hands on and going back and watching some of this guy's tape here that they show and that you can easily find, you know, on YouTube and things like that. He's great over the middle. He stinks on throws outside the numbers. The arm strength is a question. We don't know a lot about him because Michigan was so good that he wasn't in a lot of positions where he had to throw and move the ball through the air. What do you make of this guy, and which team is going to take a chance on him?
J.J. McCarthy's like the ultimate wild card, because you look at his tape, as you said, There's very specific areas of the field that were kind of coordinated for him. You know, the middle of the field is the most plentiful, prosperous area in an NFL offense.
Somebody should tell the Steelers that, but go ahead.
Yeah. Right? It's also the most schemed up area. So you can kind of put guys in conflict, linebackers, safeties. You can run different kind of routes where you can get guys open for him. So I do think J.J. McCarthy has some interesting traits. I think he throws with good anticipation. I think he's got a good enough arm. He's athletic enough. I don't think he's an elite athlete, but he's athletic enough to create a structure. I think those are good things. But I also think he's a guy that has shoddy processing when he's kind of put on the line. I will say this. When they did ask him to make a big throw, it did feel like he did it. You know, if they got into third and 11, back up of their own end zone, he made a throw he needed to make. So I think that's kind of good where you look at the projection of him. But he is a risky prospect, but he's young. He's got upside. I think, you know, he'll be the rightfully the fourth quarterback off the board. What team's going to take a chance on him? New England in a trade back, I think, makes a lot of sense. They've kind of been talking about moving out of three. Maybe if the Giants come up, snag May, I could see them doing it. The Vikings. I think the Vikings are a really interesting team for McCarthy because you want to talk about a spot where he could really nurture and grow. I mean, you know, you have Addison, Hawkinson, Jefferson. You have a nice kind of group there. You have a solid offensive line. You have a really good offensive coach. I think Minnesota is where I would like to see him go to really maximize his potential. I think that's probably where he does end up. You know, I think Minnesota probably trades up here into the top six and lands J.J. McCarthy.
Nick, we appreciate the time, man. Thank you for taking the time. You're really good at this.
Joe, I'm enjoying all the little visitors that keep coming in to say
so
hello.
So am I. That reminds me of when my daughter was tiny and time goes by so fast.
Wait.
Huh?
You. My daughter is 25. I think she's 25.
Wow. Wasn't it great when...
She's going to be 25 in a month. She's my youngest.
She is?
My oldest, Elijah, is... I think going to be 30 this year. Think about that. I'm a 30-year-old.
Wow.
I'm just saying. You say time flies. Like, your daughter's what, 13, 14?
15, yeah.
15? Yeah, time flies.
I remember I used to read to her every night, and then she would fall asleep, watching her fall asleep when she was like 4. And then 10 minutes later, here she is, demanding things, yelling at me, this stuff.
Listen, that's what I tell all the parents. You know, the kids that I coach, I tell them all, I said, you know, you're going to bitch and moan about this experience and it costs money, the commitment, the driving, the tournaments and the time at practices, this and that and everything. Then you're going to open your eyes and it's going to be over. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be like, I spent the last 3 years miserable and bitching as opposed to just enjoying the fact that I get a lot of quality time with my kid because you never get it back.
Yeah, exactly. And the sports that they want sometimes aren't the sports that you want them. She's playing flag football now.
Yes.
She's running routes as a receiver.
That's fun, though.
She loves it.
Right.
That thing is taking off right now.
Yeah.
Did you know that? With girls especially.
Right. That's taken off. If girls wrestling has really taken off, too.
Really?
Yes.
Well, the NFL took off many years ago and became the number one sport in this country and is now a national obsession. And here to talk about it, Chris Carter from the Post-Gazette. What a wonderful man he is, Paul, isn't he?
Yes. What a wonderful man. Chris Carter.
I don't know about all that, guys.
All he does is score touchdowns.
All he does is catch touchdowns,
right?
You know what we haven't talked about, Chris? And you're on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years, is more of a local angle with the Pitt guys. Tell us about some of these guys, where they might go, who's going to be the highest pick, that type of thing, if you would.
Pitt's got a good group of guys here. They're not going to continue their streak of back-to-back years with first-round picks. That's over after Kenny Pickett and Kalijah Kansi. But Don't overlook a guy like Matt Gonsalves maybe sneaking his way into the later part of the third round. Yes, he missed the majority of this past season, but he is an extremely flexible offensive tackle who has the right kind of build that a lot of people like to see. He's played left tackle, left guard, right guard. He's moved all over the Panthers offensive line, and people are going to look at that and say, hey, we like versatile offensive linemen. We could take that guy in the third round and mold him. I think at the latest, he goes fifth round. I would be shocked if he went the fifth round, actually. I think most likely I see him going in the fourth. If someone really wants to get a flexible tackle, he could go in the third. Another guy who has really risen up boards in this offseason process is Bub Means, wide receiver Bub Means. He didn't put up, you know, prolific numbers for Pitt over the past couple seasons, but he was a good player. And I think if Pitt had just had better quarterback situations, you know, Keaton Slovis, Filjakovic, those the way that played out, I think Bub Means would have shown everyone that he had a lot more in the tank. But when I went to the combine and I started talking to, you know, scouts and, you know, front office folk from around the league, there was a lot of buzz about Bub Means. They're like, we love it. He's almost 6'2". He's stocky. He's fast. He could punt return, kick return. He could be a gunner. And he ran a great 40-yard dash time. We like that guy a lot. And so then I listened to guys like Mel Kiper Jr. If you've listened to Mel Kiper in this offseason, he keeps bringing up Bub Means' name. So I would not be shocked if Bub Means snuck his way into the early part of day three, maybe the fourth or the fifth round. And then you got guys like MJ Devonshire and AJ Woods. I think Marquez Williams is going to be an undrafted guy just because he's a shorter option. But MJ Devonshire, he's going to get drafted. He's a quick guy. He's been a playmaker in big spots. People love that about him. But AJ Woods testing, if you look at relative athletic scores that compare corners to their explosiveness, to their speed, to their size, AJ Woods had the sixth best relative athletic score of all cornerbacks in this draft class. I think he's going to compare a lot to like a Damari Mathis or a Jason Pinnock, two guys who weren't major on everyone's draft radars at the start of the process, but tested very well. And then everyone's like, let's give that Pitt cornerback a shot. So I think this year you see three Pitt players drafted, maybe four.
Would you be okay if the Steelers ended up with either Memes or Devonshire late in the draft?
Certainly. I think Means would be a good addition to the Steelers receiver room. He'd be an athletic speedster guy. He could also be a special teamer, and they need those kind of guys on the roster. Devonshire is another guy. I think, yes, they need another cornerback for the future. And right now, you know, a lot of people are enamored with Corey Trice because, you know, he was such a promising player coming out of last year's draft class. But Corey Trice, you know, suffered an injury very early in training camp, and we haven't seen him since. There's no guarantee that him or Darius Rush are going to work out long term. You'd like to think that one of them might, but if you threw MJ Devonshire in there, that'd be another young corner that you can work with, especially if, let's say, the Steelers pass on corner in the early parts of this draft to get a tackle, a center, a wide receiver, a defensive lineman, any other smattering of picks like that. But I think Devonshire would be a good addition. He would take time to adjust, but he would be a guy that, yeah, I think he could eventually compete and maybe start on the outside at the cornerback position.
Chris, tell me who your top five quarterbacks are in your humble opinion. Ooh. Going into this draft. Rank them 1 to 5. If you were starting a franchise, the guys that you would put the ball in their hands, 1 to 5.
I would go Caleb Williams, number 1, Jaden Daniels, number 2, Drake May, number 3, Michael Penix, number 4, and Bo Nix, number 5.
No J.J. McCarthy, huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. I skipped J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy is number 4, then Michael Penix is number 5.
You obviously cover Pitt, so you're not quite as familiar with some of the other teams. But what's his name? Chop Robinson, is that his name? The guy from Penn State?
Yes.
He's been on a lot of first-round draft boards. What are you doing? I mean, I'm assuming you've looked at him a little just because he's been so prominent. What are your thoughts on him?
I like Chop Robinson. I think that he brings some things to the table that a lot of his traits are what are putting him there. Like if you look at his numbers, I think he only had like four sacks or something last year. He's not been a prolific edge rusher that everyone was saying like in college, like, man, he's going to be a superstar in the NFL. But if you look at his size, you look at his athleticism, you look at the skill sets that he's put on tape, people love that about him. And I do think he could end up being a first-round pick for Penn State this year, which would give them multiple first-round picks because Olu Fashanu, he's definitely going to be a first-round pick. He might even go in the top 10. I think Fashanu is actually, maybe the best pure pass-protecting offensive tackle in this draft class. I think Joe Alt's the best offensive tackle overall. But if we're talking about just pass protection, Fashanu is that guy out of Penn State. But Chop Robinson, I think that he has the traits that a lot of people look at and they say, hey, I want that in my edge rusher. And that's why he'll either, if he doesn't go first round, I do think he goes second round.
All right, in the end, I'm sure you read Jerry Dulac's piece. A lot of people in the Steelers organization, or at least some, are really, really high on Graham Barton. Does it shake out with the obvious pick?
I'm not sure if it's the obvious pick, because I think that the Steelers could fall into a situation like when they talked about Cam Hayward and how, you know, way back when they picked Cam Hayward, they never thought he'd fall to 31. I think there are a number of guys who, like, you traditionally don't get a shot. Like the Steelers, if you look out through their history, they don't have the Hall of Fame offensive tackle in their history. And in today's NFL, that is a premium position. Last year, they were able to be fortunate enough to trade up and get Broderick Jones. This year, they may get a chance to get a guy that's very similar to Broderick Jones as far as talent and prospect-wise at a key position that is highly valued in the NFL without even having to trade up. That would be the only thing I think would get in the way of Graham Barton, or like Quinion Mitchell found probably to fall all the way to them at 20. But Graham Barton's a heck of a player. He's a heck of an athlete. If you look at, again, if you bring up the relative athletic scores again, there are two players who are first round graded guys with 9.99 athletic scores out of 10 points. And it's Graham Barton, the offensive lineman out of Duke, and Adonai Mitchell, the wide receiver out of Texas, who I think is also going to be a fine player in the NFL. But Graham Barton, if they get him, they're going to be very happy. I know that people are going to say, well, wait a minute, Kendrick Green, we don't like guys that haven't played center their whole careers in college. Graham Barton did a good job in his freshman year at Duke. He's a heck of an athlete. He'll adjust back to it. And he's been training as a center this whole draft process because he recognized, hey, that could end up being the position that I'm in. I like Graham Barton. If he's the pick at 20, I think Steelers fans will have every reason to be happy about it. I'm just not so sure that this tackle class will shake out in a way that the Steelers don't say, you know what? We have this tackle. Let's say J.C. Latham or, you know, Talaese Fuaga ranked above Graham Barton. So we got to take this guy and we'll worry about center later. But again, if it's Graham Barton, Steelers are very happy with that.
You know, one thing I was going to ask you as a follow-up to Joe's question about quarterbacks, do you think any of these guys – I'm going to make a prediction that's going to go down as either the worst I've ever made or the best I've ever made. I don't like any of these guys, and I think they're all going to be very – at the best, you know, very average or below quarterbacks in the NFL.
I think Caleb Williams has the tools to be a generational quarterback, but I think that he needs to be in an organization that's going to – push him in the right directions. It's going to challenge him in the right ways. And I'm not 100% sure the Bears are that organization. I mean, let's face it, they haven't really developed a quarterback ever. You know, when you think back to in their history, I mean, even their best quarterback in my like adult watching times is like, what, Jay Cutler? And they had to get him from the Broncos. So I think Caleb Williams has the potential. I don't know if he'll get to there. I really like Jaden Daniels. I think that he has a tool set that makes him very unique in this draft class. But I also think he needs to be in a system that works for him. I'm not so sure that the Commanders are that system, but they're under new management. We'll see about that. Drake May, I think, you know, I think at one point a lot of people ranked him very high, and I think that he's kind of, people have started to come down on him. But I'm kind of with you, Paul, that I don't know that this is a dominant quarterback class despite everything else. J.J. McCarthy is the biggest wild card to me. And it's funny that I forgot when, you know, you guys asked me for a quarterback, and I forgot to list him as my fourth there because – I honestly, like, I think that J.J. McCarthy has potential, but I haven't seen it proven in college. And there's some people talking about J.J. McCarthy being the fifth overall pick, and I'm just like, I don't know about all of that. I think that if you took him in the middle of the first round or the second round, that would make sense. But, you know, Penix, too much of an injury history. Bo Nix, you know, I think that he has a lot of the issues that Kenny Pickett had as far as just coming out at the age that he came out. I'm not 100% sold that this quarterback class is going to be one of the best ever, or even, you know, one of the best recent ones. But I do think that there's going to be a lot taken. I actually have in my mock draft, I think I have five quarterbacks being taken in the first round. So I think that that could happen, but I don't know if it's going to work out for anybody just yet.
Chris, we appreciate the time, man. I will see you later tonight. See you, buddy.
See you guys.